I want to say good morning to each and every one of you here today. Bring you greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's good to be here with you. It's good to see each one of you here. And the visitors are here. I trust you'll feel welcomed as we worship the Lord together. It is good to be able to come to the house, the Lord's house, or gather together in, I guess we call it the Lord's house. I guess it's just a building that the Lord's people meet in, but we do think of it as the place where we meet to worship, and it is good to be able to come together and to be encouraged and strengthened. I appreciated the service so far that we had, the songs. I too appreciated many of the songs, or all of the songs. Appreciated the Sunday school lesson and the scripture reading that Brother Joe had as well. Today is Father's Day 2021. You know, we have a day set aside each year to honor fathers and mothers. We have a day each year, and I think it's good for that. We thought about Mother's Day a little over a month ago, and here we are at Father's Day. You know, I was thinking as I was getting ready to get up, I was thinking about it some as I was studying as well. You know, please don't raise your hand here, and I hope nobody would, but is there anybody here this morning that thinks or feels they're perfect? And I guess the reason I'm asking that question is all of us are not perfect. We have imperfections, we have faults, but all of us still have fathers that are imperfect and have had faults. And we need to remember that as we think about Father's Day. And as we think of, and I'm not going to share so much about that, but thinking about honoring our father and our mother, honoring our parents, honoring them for who God has them to be. But I want to think about it more this morning for us as fathers, those of us that are fathers, and for those of you that are young men, maybe just getting married or looking forward to getting married, or maybe have been married for a little bit. If the Lord blesses you with children, you will be fathers someday as well. I want the message to be encouraging this morning as well as challenging. I think I've said this before, but I read an article this week again. You know, on Mother's Day, we talk about flowers. We talk about honoring our mothers, and we really praise mothers up. And on Father's Day, we come down with a heavy hammer and say, you fathers need to step up to the plate and be a man of God. And and there is some of that there. But I want it to be an encouraging message to us as fathers. I think us as dads, fathers in the home, need positive reinforcement and encouragement to be all that they can be in Christ. Society around us has a very negative, or sheds a very negative light on fathers. I don't know if you've noticed, but it seems to be a shift in a lot of secular children's books, and the media sheds a lot of negative view on dads, almost to the point of them being goofy definitely the direct opposite of being the leader in the home as God would want him to be. Almost, I was thinking along the line of not even really being needed, just being there and being part of the picture, but not really even kind of, like I said, goofy and not being needed. But it's sad to say, we see in the world around us, a lot of dads are being that way and not taking their place in the home as leaders. But I believe we as Christians need to recognize the level of importance of the role of the father in the home. But not only recognize the importance of it, but to encourage one another to take our responsibilities serious, to understand the impact we are making on our homes and to all those around about us. What are we doing here as fathers this morning? Are we setting the example that God wants us to? Are the things that we are doing pleasing to God? There was a study done one time, and I don't know how many years ago this was done, but thinking about fathers and mothers, it said that if father and mother go to church, if fathers and mother both, the father and mother in the home, are both professing Christians, and they both attend church regularly, there's a fairly good percentage that their children will go to church also when they grow up. If only the father goes to church, the percentage drops to 55%. However, if only the mother goes to church, it drops down to 15%. Now, what I want us to think about, that it drops down to 15% of the children that will be involved in a church when they are grown. What I want us to realize and think about, even though Mothers nourish and have and cherish their children are more nurturers. Their children many times, you know, I don't know, I've probably said this before, but many children, when they get a little hurt or a boo-boo, you call it, they'll run to their mother first. Well, let dad take care of it. Well, no, dad usually isn't. Many times dad isn't quite good enough in that aspect. But I don't think we recognize the impact that we make on our children spiritually in how we live and how we teach and train our children. And that statistic that somebody did would show that in a big way. We must make tough choices in life and always choose to be a man of God. Always choose the high road. Joshua 24:15 says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Are we willing to stand up and be men of God? Are we willing to stand up and be men of integrity, men of conviction, men of courage, men that will stand up and we'll take our responsibilities seriously and lead? A man by the name of Austin Sorensen said it like this: "A child is not likely to find a father in God unless he finds something of God in his father." I'll say that again because it's maybe a little hard to grasp and understand. But a child is not likely to find a father in God unless he finds something of God in his father. Being a father is not easy work, but I can say here this morning that I'm glad I am a father, and I hope that if you're a father, you can say that as well. Being a dad, I believe, is one of the greatest privileges and blessings of life. It's not always easy, but if you learn to do things the way God wants you to, it can be one of the most rewarding assignments that we can be given. There's many things that we need to do as dads that aren't easy in times, but I believe if we trust in the Lord and continue to rely on Him, it will be rewarding. There's a survey done one time as well. Of elementary children. It was conducted a few years ago, which indicated the top 10 most things that children appreciated about their dads. The first one is, he takes time for me. The second one is, he listens to me. The third one is, he plays with me. The fourth one is, he invites me to go places with him. The fifth one is, he lets me help him. The sixth one is, he treats my mother well. The seventh one is, he lets me say what I think. The eighth one is, he's nice to my friends. The ninth one is, he only punishes me or corrects me when I deserve it. And the tenth one is, he isn't afraid to admit when he is wrong. Sure, you could put many more there, but the first five in that list all involves time. Children need our time. We usually devote our time and energy to the people and things we value most. Children whose father who don't take time for them can only conclude one thing: he must not really care about me all that much. We'll maybe talk a little bit more about some of that later, but if you'll turn with me at this time, the main verses we want to look at this morning is Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Probably the message will focus mainly on that last half of verse 4. But we'll probably think about some of the others as well. The first part of the message, there'll be three parts of the message again this morning. The first part we want to look at is be a man of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." What does that have to do with being a man of God? I believe if we are a man of God, we will have a consistent prayer life. We will have a good relationship with the Lord. We will be willing to take up our cross daily and die to self and follow the Lord. We talk to God. We tell Him our troubles, our trials, our fears, our hopes, and our dreams. But we also continually offer Him and thank Him and praise Him for who He is and for what He has done in our life. When we pray, we are spending time with God. We are communing time with God. And I believe this is all very important for us to be a man of God, a godly father. Think about being a man of God. If we don't keep a relationship right with God, it will be very hard for us to be a godly father. We need to give our children time as well with us. You know, you think about it a little bit like this. If you, I think I have that, actually, yeah, it's right after this. Dr. James Dobson once said that the average father spends less than 1 minute each day in face-to-face conversation with his children. I thought about that a little bit, and I would hope that this would be out in the world where dads are so busy, but you know, it takes time to build and cultivate relationships with your children, but along with that, it takes time for us as fathers, whether it's fathers or mothers here, as adults, as Christians, to build a relationship with God, and out of that, to be the men and women that God wants us to be. God actively seeks to have a good and a right relationship with us each day. And as we recognize that, we need to give our children the time and attention that they need as well. There is a time and a place for everything. We need to work. We all know we have to have jobs. But we need to be sensitive to our children's need. I remember one time, and I don't remember what the situation was, but there was a discussion happening, and I just remember my dad making the statement, and I think it's even would be, you could have a scripture, I don't know if it says it exactly like this, but there's a time to work and a time to play. In other words, you need to have time designated to do, but you need to recognize the importance of working as well. 1 John 4, verse 8b says, God is love. Children learn who God is, or picture who God is, by how we are in our lives. Children need to see Christ's love in us and through us. Our children need God. Our children need to see how real God is to us and through us. You know, I wonder sometimes if one of the greatest things that isn't missing today is the fact that men aren't willing to take up the spiritual battle for their homes and families. Ephesians 6:13 says, thinking about the armor of God, wherefore take ye upon the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all to stand. I think it was Brother J. Mark one time made it the comment something like this, and I don't remember what for message he was preaching or sharing on, but he made it, said it like this, that the father is the gateway, a Christian father is the gateway into the home. In other words, what the father does, what the father says, what the father allows into the home, whether it's books, whether it's media, whatever that is the gateway of home. So thinking about this, of taking on the whole armor of God, being willing to stand up and take our place. I believe we need to understand what God wants and expects from us. Second part we want to look at is teaching and training our children. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We're never promised that our children will all turn out perfectly or right or want to serve the Lord. Again, I know this is J. Mark shared, one of their close friends. They would have a very good Christian family, but one of their children came to him and said he didn't believe in God anymore, and he was going to go and join the military, and it was just so heartbreaking for them and troubling. But I don't want us to think about that so much as being consistent in training our children in the way he should go. And I think that thought, somebody else shared it like this, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And when he is old, what we teach and train will never leave them. What we teach and train will always be a part of their lives. Those first two verses that I read here in the text this morning talk about children obeying your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. If you want your children to honor and respect you, you need to be, first of all, need to honor and respect your parents. You know, as we grow older, we're no longer, we have our own homes, we're accountable to our own selves, but we still are called to honor and respect our parents. Thinking a little bit about nurturing and training and bringing our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture means to train, to educate, to take care of, to protect. Admonition, a definition of that is to caution against, to warn, to administer reproof. Brought some things along this morning I want to use as illustrations. It might help us to maybe fully understand this in a little way. I don't often do a lot like this, but this morning I chose to. I was going to bring a toolbox, but I didn't have a toolbox I could bring, so I brought a 31 bag, and Anna's not here to be happy about that, but I got flowers. What in the world would flowers do? That ain't the first thing we want to look at. Is any of you children here, maybe the under the age of 10, can you tell me what this tool is? It's a wrench, but what? Adjustable wrench, there you go. What would a father do with an adjustable wrench? Anybody know? Maybe any of you adults can even add in on this. Screw in bolts. Well, yeah, you can do that with it, but I'm thinking about with your children. You need to be flexible and adaptable to any situation when they arise. You know, why is the wrench adjustable? If you grab this wrench, you can use it on any size of bolt as long as it isn't bigger than what you can open it up to. But it's flexible and adaptable to any situation. Hopefully, almost everybody will know what this one is. And I thought I had a smaller one, but I didn't. So this one's quite big. What's this?
A level.
A level. What would you do with a level?
Level it down.
Yep. What would a father do with a level for his children in comparison to the children? And anybody can say this as well. Father needs to be level-headed and fair. A plumb line. He used to use a plumb line before they had levels to make sure things are straight, make sure things are going in the right direction. Proverbs 27 says, a just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Okay, I got two other things here. Does anybody know what that is?
Stapler.
A stapler, yeah. Staple gun. I got one more thing here. They both go together. What's that?
Clamp.
There you go. It's a clamp. What would that have to do? A father must be able to hold everything together, even sometimes when he feels like he's maybe falling apart himself. What's this? No, well, it could be used for that, but it's yeah, some of the older ones might know a little better what this specifically is. It's a towel or a shop towel, I guess, yeah, is what I was looking for. Fathers are not perfect. We must be ready to clean up sometimes with the messes that we make. Be willing to say we're sorry. Oh, shucks, I forgot one other thing. There's two things. One thing I didn't have, and the other one other than I forgot. One was an extension cord. Fathers must be able to stretch in a lot of different directions. Also, we need to use it as an illustration to stay connected. You use an extension cord to connect the electric from one thing to an outlet. We must be willing to stay connected to the Lord. Now, this brings us to this one. I'm sure everybody knows what this one is, or I hope you would. What, anybody have any idea what this might have to do with a dad? What'd you say? A bouquet. Yeah, it's a bouquet. But what would a dad do with a bouquet of flowers?
He's what? He's
supposed to be sweet. Well, yeah, that's definitely. That would. The flowers is what the dad gives to his wife, the children's mother. I want to tell you here, dads, this morning, I believe one of the greatest things that a father can do for his children, and I've heard many other people say this as well, is to love their mother, to love your wife. Put your wife's needs ahead of your own. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I got another tool here, and this could probably be used for different things. But anybody know what that is? Children under 10?
Wrench.
It could be a wrench, but what type of a wrench? It's a vice grip. What do you do with a vice grip? Usually it's something when you want to get a good grip on something. Sometimes you have a wrench and it wants to slip off, so use a vice grip. You clamp on hard. Fathers must be able to hold on, even sometimes when everyone else around them may be losing their grip. It's a verse, a couple verses, thinking about some of that in Proverbs 3:5-7. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil." The last thing I wanted to bring along, and we don't have one right now, ours broke, but I wanted to bring along a rubber mallet. Does anybody know what a rubber, does anybody know what you use a rubber mallet for?
Pounding in.
But what does that do different than a regular hammer? Does anybody know that? If I take a rubber mallet and I would have one here and I would hit on this, the side of the pulpit here, it would just bounce off. You wouldn't see, it wouldn't do any damage to the wood. But if I would have a regular hammer and I would hit with the same force, I would probably leave an imprint or a small dent in the wood. So a rubber mallet, and this wasn't all original with me, I found it, but a rubber mallet says fathers must be able to do correction and persuasion without doing damage to the child. I've heard it said before, a reshaping of the wills, a redirecting of the wills without doing damage. Thinking about teaching and training, several verses or a couple verses in Titus 3, 1 and 2. Actually, I must have the wrong verses there because that's not what I was looking for. But anyway, a couple other verses to think about back in Proverbs 1, verses 7 and 8. Pretty sure these tie in with what we're thinking about there. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. It is our responsibility to teach our children respect. We need to remember that each and every part of life that we have with our children, and as our children grow older, our responsibilities and our things grow, change and are different. But the respect that we teach our children to have when they are younger will have a big effect on how they relate as they get older. The third thing we want to look at yet is to lead by example. We need to be approachable. We need to be willing to listen to our children, to hear their likes and dislikes, their opinion. And yes, even the little trivial things that sometimes seem to have very little importance or value. It has been said that a child is an island of curiosity surrounded by a sea of question marks. The average child, they say, will ask somewhere around the average of 500,000 questions between the time they can talk and by the time they're the age of 15. I can't imagine it would be that many, but I'm sure there's some that are more than that and some that are less. You've probably heard the illustration before, too, or just a comment made that parents spend the first part of their life urging the child's life, urging them to talk and walk, and the rest of their life asking them to sit down and be quiet. But you know, we need to give them time to ask the questions and give them the answers that they are looking for. Another thing we need to remember is a lot of what our children learn is caught rather than taught. They learn from what they observe. The lifestyle, the way we live, is one of the greatest lessons for our children. We need to teach and train by example. It's been said by someone that a godly father is worth a lot more than a dozen school teachers. You know, I've heard it said before that parents were happy when their children went to school because it got them out of their house, it got them out of their hair. And I'm not saying we shouldn't ever look for some free time, but we need to be careful with that attitude of what we are teaching and training our children. We need to be willing to stop and ask ourselves sometimes, is my walk with the Lord and my spiritual life worth imitating? Do we have enthusiasm for the things of God? Are we men of integrity? I said a little bit about integrity earlier there back in the, I think it was in the beginning or the opening, that we need to be men of integrity. The world needs men of God with integrity. It needs men who are incorruptible and complete and honest. Just earlier this week, I had some interaction with a man that would be a professing Christian that was not completely open and honest. And you know, that raises questions in your mind. Well, what does the rest of their life look like? Where are they at in the rest of their life? We need to be to mature and grow up and be men. Ephesians 4:14 says that we therefore be no more children, tossed through and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, which they lie in wait to deceive. Are we compromising in any way? Are our lives consistent with what God's word wants us to be? Spiritual guidance is something that we cannot be neglected, nor can be delegated out to others. If we try to follow the fads and fashions of the world, don't be surprised if our children walk right out into the world as well. You know, I know of one situation where there's a family, the wife in the home was always up on the latest, whether it was her hair, whether it was the way she was trying to dress. And then she begins to wonder why none of her children want to be a part of the church. Our children's relationship with God begins in the home. If our faith in Christ is genuine, it will be seen at work in the home. We as fathers need to pray. I said about this a little bit earlier as well, but pray for ourselves, pray for our children, pray for our marriages. Our children, when they are young, should know that we pray for them and hear us pray for them. Thinking about praying, thinking about trusting in the Lord. Psalm 127, very good verses here for us to remember. Starts out there, verses 1 through 4. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. We could use this whether it's in the home or whether it's in the church setting. Unless the Lord is behind what we are doing, it's all in vain. It is vain for us to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved sleep. And then these two verses are very important as well. 3 and 4, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is the reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Thinking about that verse, as arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, a good person that is a good archer will shoot straight, will many times hit the center of the target. And that's what it's referring here to with our children. As arrows are in the hands of the mighty man, so are children of the youth. As we teach and train our children, when they go out and are on their own, they will be all that God wants them to be. We need to take the leadership of our home seriously. If we don't teach our children the truth, others will teach them error. Dads and fathers here this morning, we are the point men in our homes. We need to step up to the plate and face our responsibilities seriously. God has given us a great responsibility. You know, we see a lot of passive men today. We see a lot of can I say, over-domineering or aggressive women today as well. We need to be careful that we, and this again, I'm not, that you could tie this into somewhat of a relationship in marriage, of the wife submitting in the home, the husband being the head of the wife and leading out in the home. There's a lot that could be said there, but we need to take our responsibilities seriously and not just sit back and say, well, somehow or another it'll get taken care of, or somehow or another they'll learn. Our goal should be to develop children who seek to obey, love and obey and honor and glorify God with their lives. We need to teach our children to give of themselves in service and sacrifice to the Lord. We need to teach them what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior, and how to live lives that are pleasing to him. One thing I want to read yet here at the end is a book by, now here again, I don't know who these men are, but I just found this in some of my reading by Ken and Jeff Gangle. They wrote a book, Fathering Like the Father. It says several practical ways a dad can apply what we've talked about and learned here this morning. The first one is never lose sight of sin as the ultimate culprit in a child's negative behavior. Don't exasperate your child by ignoring their sin. Love them enough to correct it. Number two, remember that the key is not perpetual success, but faithful effort. In other words, continue to do the right thing. Continue to put forth effort. Number three, expect pain at the moment of punishment and look for righteousness and peace later. Number four, when you deal with sin and disobedience in your child, don't just react. Consider the response. It would be too harsh, and the one that would be too permissive, and balance it in the middle. Number five, pray daily that God will help you develop holiness in your children as you recognize their weaknesses and deal with their sins and move towards spiritual growth in your own life and theirs. Number six, if you have a wandering older child, ask the Heavenly Father to bring him or her back home to his fellowship again. Pray for them every day. Number seven, forgive your children quickly. Don't hold grudges. Initiate reconciliation and celebrate it. Number eight, never be guilty of favoritism or broken promises, which can provoke deep-seated anger. Number nine, always keep God's balanced love in mind when you discipline. Communicate complete acceptance. And when you forgive, communicate the seriousness of the sin. The responsibilities that we have been given as dads and fathers in the home is serious business for men of God. Famous quote we often say, often think about, probably many of us have us hanging in our homes, is choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We need to commit ourselves to choose to lead our family God's ways. You know, I want us to think about our own responsibilities, but also want us to think about our responsibility in honoring our father and our mother. You know, it's easier for me to think about honoring my mother because my mother's still living. My father's been gone for close 35 years now, and so he's not here on this life, even though I still honor him in my mind, I guess you could say, but I don't honor him anymore in acts of service or acts of things that I do for him. But, you know, I want us to think about, again, that, you know, I think I said a little bit about this on Mother's Day. There may be some here that didn't have a good father figure in their life. But I want you to remember that for some reason God placed you in the home that you were born in. You didn't have the choice to be born into that home, and you still need to have a God-honoring fear for your father, regardless of what the situation is. But for all of us, we need to honor and respect our dads. Maybe not sometimes, let me back up, I want to rephrase that. Not because they're perfect or not because they're everything that they should be, but it's because God told us that's what we're supposed to do. And as we honor and respect our fathers, or mothers, we can tie it both in. We're thinking of fathers here today. But as we honor and respect our fathers or mothers, it goes a long way in helping us to relate and relay in our children what their honor and respect should be as well. I want to just, again, encourage us as dads to don't give up in the middle or the heat of the battle. You know, we go through hard situations sometimes. We go through tough things, whether it's some of the questions, whether it's some of the reactions, whether it's some of the discipline. But don't give up to continue to trust in the Lord and continue to ask God for wisdom and continue to nurture and train and teach our children. And we need to remember that I'm not quite 50, but I will be before long, another year or two, actually a little over a year. And 20 years from now, somebody else will, hopefully, Lord willing, will still be living, but somebody else will be taking up and carrying on the work of the church that God has for me or God has for you. And thinking about each one of us personally, and what I want us to grasp is the children that we are training as the future generation of the church. And what we teach and train them to be is what the church will be in 20 to 30 and 40 and 50 years from now. So with those thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer.